Our scripture today comes from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, why did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of the Lord. As our children are leaving, I'd just like to echo Rick's words of welcome. It is so good to see each and every one of you here today. And so thank you for being here and all that each of you mean to this congregation. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you and bring this message. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and care, but many of these children who had lost so much, you can understand, could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food, and nothing seemed to reassure them. Finally, someone hit on the idea of giving each child a loaf of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace all through the night. The bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." A loaf of bread can be a wonderful thing. My favorite bread is the cranberry walnut bread at Publix. Have any of you tried it? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to find. They don't make enough of those, but I recommend it. Another wonderful place to find bread is in our church cookbook. There you'll find Ann Sayre's Mother's Recipe for Hush Puppies and The Secrets of Baking Bread in a Jar. And as part of a recipe for Mexican cornbread, you'll find the story of John Duffield's grandmother hiding in the basement when Pancho Villa rode through town in 1916. Part of the recipe. Oh, and there's also Woody's biscuit recipe, which of course is required reading for all the members of North Decatur Presbyterian Church. I mention bread because in our scripture passage today from the 6th chapter of John, a large crowd has been following Jesus, and it's bread that's on their mind. Jesus has just fed this crowd of 5,000 with a few loaves of bread, and now they're chasing after him, and it seems like those loaves are the reason. Jesus says, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. He tries to explain that he has not come simply to satisfy earthly hunger, but to give a bread that will nourish people for eternal life. He encourages them to believe in him whom God has sent. Well, the crowd wants a sign, something like the manna that rained down from heaven that their ancestors ate in the wilderness. And that leads Jesus to speak of the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. It's such a simple and familiar metaphor. For those children who hogged their loaves of bread, it is a powerful image. For people who have lived with hunger, it is a powerful image that Jesus uses. For people like me, who too often take food for granted, or give myself and my own labor credit for what I eat, this simple metaphor is a reminder of our dependence upon God. As the psalmist says, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you open your hand, O God, we are filled with good things. There's a wonderful book by an author named Lauren Winner about biblical metaphors and images for God. She explains that at some point she realized her pictures of God were old, so she set out to find new ones. She asks the reader, what images and metaphors does the Bible give us for who God is, and what ways of being with God might those pictures invite? Her book digs beyond the familiar God as king, God as rock, as parent, to discover, for example, in Hosea, God as birdcatcher, lion, and prosecuting attorney. In Isaiah, God as laboring woman. In Matthew and Luke, God as homeless man. You know the verse, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The book is called Wearing God, from a reference in Galatians to God as clothing. And there's a whole chapter on God as bread. There, Lauren Winner describes how once at church, she asked a group this question. And I want you to think about this too. If Jesus is the bread of life, what kind of bread is he? She suggests that the group's answers make a good prayer. Toast with jam, bagel, morning glory muffin, chocolate tea bread, cinnamon roll, multi-grain loaf, my grandmother's sourdough, French toast, crusty baguette, wonder bread. Amen. This gorgeous list expands our metaphor, doesn't it? God is bread is fundamentally about God who nourishes and gives life, but also God who delights, like a cinnamon roll, God who strengthens, like a multi-grain loaf, God who promises to be with us through the simple and ordinary days of our lives, like Wonder Bread. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. During Jesus' last meal before he died, he shared with his disciples bread and wine, calling them his body and blood, signs of a new covenant. and telling his disciples to keep on eating of this bread and drinking of this cup in remembrance of him until he comes again. The Lord's Supper is so important because it's a sacrament instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of what we experience when we come to the table. When John Calvin was asked to explain it, to explain the Eucharist, he said he would rather experience it than to understand it. Maybe you would agree. In my church out in Bremen, where I've been for the past few years, there was a man named Joe. And whenever Joe had nursery duty on the first Sunday, so that he had to miss communion, he would come back into the sanctuary after services while people were still mingling and talking, and he would ask, "Could I please have communion?" Why was this sacrament so important, so vital to Joe that he could not leave church without it? Was it the experience of feeling Christ's presence in the bread and wine? Was it the way these elements of bread and wine bound him with Christ and with all of us so that we became one body? Was it the promise and the hope of the feast to be set before us in the fullness of time? Oh, we do need hope in the world today. Maybe it was about how it is that at the Lord's table, we're not just there with the people in the room. No, at the Lord's table, we are gathered with all of the faithful in every time and place. This is, to share a personal note, this is why I couldn't get through last month's communion here in May without shedding a tear, because I felt so powerfully the presence of my mother who had just passed away. Maybe Joe wanted to feel that sort of presence too. I'm sure he was there for the nourishment. Joe does so much in the community to help people in need, and he knows that he needs the bread of life to keep going, to keep being the bread for others, to keep growing in his journey of discipleship. We are all nourished for our journey of discipleship here at the Lord's table. And like Joe, we need that because we are all called to be the bread. Our communion liturgy says, "As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world." And so we will go forth from this table this morning to be the bread this week at Hagar's house. I asked Jason why he does it, why he has served so faithfully and so long at Hagar's house, and he said it would be okay if I shared this with you. So I'm quoting him. "Oh, that's easy. I know how blessed I am, and it's my calling to share my gifts with my brothers and sisters. It nourishes my soul to do something so tangible, so physical, and to connect personally with the people that we serve. We will be the bread at Hagar's house this week. On Wednesday, we will be the bread at the Medlock Coin Laundry across the street, washing clothes for our neighbors who are homeless. You'll hear in a minute about how we have the opportunity to be the bread for the youth of Shalom Church through Peace Ambassador Scholarships. Every Sunday, we collect food in the Narthex for DEAM, the Decatur Emergency Assistance Ministry. And this is especially important for us to do this summer when school is out and food security increases. The list of opportunities here at our church to be the bread goes on. Let me just mention one more and close with this. There's a building back behind Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church where you'll often notice the smell of freshly baked bread. This is the kitchen of Just Bakery, which was started last fall by a woman named Leah Lonsberry, to help newly arriving refugees with two of the big challenges: continuing their education and gaining professional credentials. So Just Bakery offers training, certification through the National Restaurant Association, and jobs that pay $15 an hour and offer flexibility so that the bakers can balance their lives, their work baking bread, along with going to school to earn their degrees, along with family responsibilities. IRC, whom many of us know and are familiar with in this congregation, the International Rescue Committee, works closely with Just Bakery to match their clients with the trainee positions that are open. These bakers are some of the bravest souls and kindest hearts you'll ever meet. Like Bhima, originally from Nepal, who was one of the first trainee bakers and has now been promoted to manager because of her hard work and leadership skills. And just a side note, I learned that this week, Bhima is going to the Honey Summit. It's in Rhode Island, and there she will share ideas and learn with 20 other of the most innovative bakers across the country. Bhima refers to Just Bakery as her second home, and she says this, I'm quoting, "Your little help by buying one cookie makes someone productive and gives them a bright future." We can purchase that one cookie or a loaf of sesame sourdough bread or any of the Just Bakery delicious products at the Oakhurst Market and other locations around Atlanta. There are just so many wonderful opportunities for us to be the bread, and nourished by the bread of life, we are strengthened to do just that.